The Winners Club is the weekly podcast that shares the highlights and insights from some of the most meaningful and impactful conversations from the number one community on Clubhouse, The Winners Club.
I was in a bit of a daze. I was thinking, I'm way beyond where I probably should be and what I should be doing.
Yeah.
I was going to think, I'll do this three-day event and I'll go off and do something different.
That's what they all think. That's what they all think. That's how they get you.
But Andy, he'd been looking into this for a few months. Yeah. So he was kind of bought into it. And fortunately, obviously, I was kind of hooked into kind of looking at the property world with him. Not hooked in that way, but hooked as in I did have a passion for it. Like previous jobs, I worked for Taylor Wimpey and things. So I got the property world. And he was just sort of talking and said, right, if we're going to do this, let's do this. And I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I can't afford this. But I've got to do it. He's like, I've got an opportunity here and I need to take it. And that's for me, the choice I had is I just had to do something. So I actually got a credit card for the first time in my life. Andy paid for this sort of mentorship we went on to, and I paid him for the half that he'd paid for. So I just had to do something. And yeah, even to this day, I don't think he feels I never paid him back, but I did.
Yeah, I'm sure I've heard that story a million times. Told from Andy's viewpoint, it's like, I never got that money back either, the little bastard. How interesting. But in those moments, isn't it? I think sometimes those are those catalyst moments where it is like squeaky bum time. You can't really afford it. Do you want to get a credit card? That whole thing. But ultimately, do you think then because of the loss of your dad, who I know you were super close to as well, is it in those moments where you're like, oh, should I do it? Should I not do it? Do you then go back and be like, I told myself in November, life's too short. You know, I watched dad pass away, 53 years old. I've committed to this. And now I've got to do it. Now I've got to walk the walk and rather than just talking it.
Yeah, I think for me back then, I was naive. I couldn't see what other people taught themselves out of doing. So a lot of people we teach now, they come up with all these excuses and reasons why they haven't started.
Yeah.
But I didn't know then when I started. So I was naive to start, which for me was a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically thought, I've just got to do it. I've got nothing else going for me at the time. I was just working and every day getting up on a Monday, working for the week, living for the Friday, living it up at the weekend, back on a Monday. And that for me, I wasn't enjoying it.
And a month into your own business, living for the weekend, champagne lifestyle on lemonade wages.
Yeah.
Get the old credit card out. Okay, so then, because as I understand it, so Andy already had the construction company, and then he sort of pivoted from like doing other people's work. He's like, well, if I got enough work of my own, then I could just keep my lads working on my own stuff. And I think that was kind of initially, that was going to be the plan, wasn't it? To find enough deal flow to go from one refurb to the next. And these were going to be, you know, 3 and 4 bed grottos that you turn around, make them nice, you know, tart them up, refurb inside and out, nothing overly fancy. That was going to kind of be the model.
That was the intention.
That was the intention.
That was the intention, definitely.
That's not become the reality, has it? As half of Northampton is now named after names that you decide upon on social media.
I am actually trying to get a street name called White Box Way, but they're just not having it.
Boudreau and office, then they can't tell you no, surely. Or does the council still approve it?
We've probably got more of an argument at that point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. My granddad's got a road named after him in the town where he lived in Framlingham in Suffolk, which is actually, incidentally, where Ed Sheeran's from.
I was going to say, yeah.
Flipping Ed Sheeran. He keeps coming up. He's ruining the vibe, man. There's Andrew Burt's Way, named after my granddad, who's a head teacher there for like 40 years. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
How cool is it to drive into a street that you've named?
That would be awesome. Yeah, it's cool. Like, although there is a story about naming a street. We had the first site, which was 8 houses we built. The council said, oh, you can name the street. I was like, oh, great. This is where White Box
Lloyd
Way came
Terrace.
You joke about that. they said, oh, you can name it where you want. It's your street. I was like, great. So I put a few names in. They're like, no, we can't have that. You can't name it after a company. So they're White Box Way. I was like, okay, what about Andy Lloyd Close? And they're like, can't name it after yourself. I'm like, all right,
Andy Lloyd Close.
Can't you second name?
So we tried. I tried.
You'd be Italian. Oh, I yeah. Oh, I'm not sure about having you in actually today. Now I think about it.
Cut me open, mate. I'm red inside. But yeah, they came back and they sent all these like names and stuff. They just disapproved all of them. So I said, look, you might as well tell me what you want because this is where it's going. Yeah. So they sent a load of and said, what was on that site before was an old cycle factory. So can you name it after something to do with the bike? I was like, yeah, you tell me what you want, because this is where it's going.
Yeah, yeah.
And it ended up being Tandem Court, but...
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was all right.
It's all right.
It's not the name we wanted.
It's no Lloyd Andy Terrace, is it? Or
no.
Lloyd Andy White.
Girardi Palace. Yeah. So you're going to do the sort of the refurb, the flips, the simple stuff. By the way, guys, if you're listening in, we are in conversation live in the Winners Club as part of Breakfast with Winners with the one and only Lloyd Girardi. We're going to open it up as well to Q&A from you guys. I'm just trying to give some context to the content this morning to get an understanding of as to who Lloyd is and the stuff that he's done in his short but illustrious career. So you're going to do the refurbs and the flips and that kind of stuff, like bog standard. How on earth did it go from that to... Because I think the first house... sort of project you worked on was these SIP panels you worked at. So not only are you sort of like first time developers, your first time using this new sort of building model entirely, which are these SIP panels which you have to import from Europe. How did that escalate? Yeah,
there was a lot of firsts on that site. Obviously it was our first site. We used SIP panels, which was basically structural insulated panels to develop, which is quite a quick and easy way of building. But yeah, the first...
Not many people were doing that at that point though, were they?
No, not at all. And also the other first was, I think we were one of the first to use Funding Circle crowdfunding on that site as well.
Right.
Which was, we had 9,000 investors, average £62 each, investing into that deal. But yeah, it was very interesting first site, very interesting. So the first site, to give context behind it, was we thought about doing single buy-to-lets and turning houses into HMOs and things like that. But we just, Andy had a build background, so why would we go and do a conversion when he's just built his own house and he was looking to grow his building company as well? So we said, well, we might as well build our own portfolio. Like, why can't we? And that's the question we kept asking ourselves, is why can't we do it? Like, no one else is doing it, so why can't we do it? Like, what's stopping us? And the only way to find out is do it. And we kind of did. we made a few mistakes, but yeah, we did it.
So the first site comes available. So you sort of having this. How do you guys sort of define the direction? Because I've spent quite a bit of time with you guys. Had some lovely Chinese takeaway, Indian takeaways up at Andy's Gaff, and then we did the Andy's boxing fight, didn't we? We documented all of that in a previous life for me, and still the same life for you. We won't touch onto that too much. If you know, you know. So yeah, we spent quite a bit of time together. You got a real lovely sort of warm. But sort of like big brother, little brother banter thing going on. How do you guys decide what's happening within the business? Do you sit down and have, sort of, I guess now it's getting bigger, you have to be a bit more serious about it. But at the time, was it just like, how did you have the conversation going, I don't think we should do these, like, just these flips or these HMO conversions, you know? Because you're probably just like reading out the text with that, but oh, we need to sweat the asset. Well, if we take one unit, we turn it into four individual rooms and we're protecting our downside and all that generic stuff that you get taught. Yeah. How did it go from that to going, do you know, why are we doing this? Do you have meetings at that point, or is it literally over a curry like, I'm not sure on this?
So there's a video on our YouTube channel of us explaining that 3 weeks between the course and why we did the first site.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it literally is me round Andy's house, round his dining table, just saying, why can't we do it? Why can't we do it? And it kept questioning it. So, okay, let's look at it. And the answer all the time was, well, yeah, just...
You can.
You can. Like, there's nothing really stopping us. So... the first 3 weeks was very like much out of my comfort zone, thinking, what, I'm just looking at this site, it's very fictional at the moment. And the site we're actually talking about as well, is it was at auction on the 19th February 2014, so it was 19 days after we'd just done 3 day training. So we were thinking Billy Big Bollocks going straight in buying a site. And we literally just, yeah, the whole thing was, and in fact one of the sayings that was in our mind a lot was, find the deal, the money will follow. And we thought, well, the money will follow. It's only £750,000 we need to find. Never borrowed money.
2 weeks after doing a training course, mate, what's the worst that can happen?
So what experience have you got there, Lloyd?
At the time, not a lot. I'd borrowed £1 off my mum before, but didn't pay it back. But
there's a theme here.
Yeah, so we literally were like, let's just do it. And then we went to the auction. It's a story about the auction, which is in my book, but I won't reveal it here, but it's an interesting story. But we ended up winning it eventually, and then we had to find £157,000 in 4 weeks or 28 days, and that was a challenge.
Yeah,
that was a challenge
because now, obviously, now you've got a very big a very engaged social media following of people who've watched your journey, like I have, you know, from close courses from 2014 to now. So you've kind of got 7 years worth of social proof and, you know, a portfolio with a GDV of about 25 million quid and what, about 50, 60 units you still hold?
Yeah, so we've got, it's 26 million now, the extra million, because we actually...
Sorry about that, mate, I mugged you for a million there.
That's my fault, because we missed £1 million off a deal once. And it's not as bad as it sounds. That was the problem. <It's not. laughs>
There's a real pattern here. Yeah. You're bad with numbers and money, aren't you? Missed a million quid.
Yeah, so we've maintained or retained a lot of the properties we built.
Because that was also part of your structure, wasn't it? It was to buy it, to build it, and to hold it. So to refinance it. So to use crowdfunding or sort of expensive finance to start with and then make these things and then get them refinanced onto sort of standardised mortgage products.
That's it. And to date, I think it's 14 million of property that we still own.
How many units is that then?
82, I think, but 160 odd units in terms of HMOs. You've got HMOs, right, gotcha. It's been absolutely phenomenal the last few years. Like I said, the social media side is what we love. We love sort of sharing our story with people.
You've kind of nailed the social media stuff now, haven't you? You kind of found that real sweet spot where it's not like clickbaity, retarget. It's very much organic-led, isn't it? Yeah. Where people have bought into you and now they'll buy from you.
We've said from the very beginning that we just want to be ourselves. Like, we don't want to try and be other people. And we actually, when we were doing the speaker circuits and things, we were probably trying to be other people at the time.
Because that's what you're trained to do, though, isn't it? You have to stand on the stage in this way, stand in this position and talk about your backstory and then, you know, drop this link. Yeah, I get it.
So we said, we just want to be ourselves. And as soon as we were...
It took off, didn't it?
Yeah, it just took off. Everyone was like, you guys are just normal. And that's where the hashtag White Box Way comes from, obviously the company White Box.
He's still trying to push that road name, isn't he? Come hook or by crook, he's going to get that name out there.
Hopefully, Northampton Council are listening.
They're big fans of this show, by the way.
Yeah, we... someone said, look, you guys do it completely different, so you do it the White Box way. And I was like, taking that. Yeah. I'm having that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I like it.
Yeah, it's been great.
All right. I've selfishly asked enough questions for my own interest, so we're going to open it up to the panel. Right. If you would like to ask... Oh, look, sorry, Ash has got a question.
I just want to talk to Lloyd about the TV show he was on. That's what I want to open up, just in case, for people in the UK... Yes. That may have watched the show. How did that come about?
What was the show?
The show was Rich House Poor House, which I was a fan of and I watched. And then we got a phone call in the office, and one of the girls in the office took the phone call, and it was from the kind of recruitment agency of the show. And they basically said, look, we want to be on your show. We would like you to be on the show. We've seen your YouTube video of me explaining how I started and how I got going, and they thought it was a good story. So they invited me to be on the show, which was great in the first place, because a lot of people think we applied for it. Mm. And I thought, this is a hoax. This is not right. So again, I was like, tell them I'll have a chat with them, but we'll see how far it goes. And then next thing, they had a chat and they asked me a load of questions. I'm thinking, I still think this is a bit of a hoax. And I've got history.
Andy winded you up.
Yeah, I thought it was. And I just kept going down the line and it kept getting better and better. And I was thinking, this is actually all right. I think this is legitimate. So yeah, we ended up being on the show. We filmed last November and it was aired in March this year, which for me, the reason I wanted to do it is because I wanted my boys to go through it. They're 6 and 4. And I just wanted them to experience just something that they can then look back on and we can talk about, because money doesn't get sort of talked about at school.
No.
And I went through school not really understanding money, not actually appreciating it. And I only learned how to get, or learned what a mortgage was when I was old enough to get a mortgage. So I just think that was bad. So I wanted them to experience that. It's the behind the end of it. So if those that have seen the show, the guy that we kind of met, he was in about 30 grand's worth of debt.
That's right, yeah. You put together a bit of a financial plan for him, didn't you?
2 weeks ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago, he's cleared that debt.
Oh, that's
he's
brilliant.
He's paid it all off.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which is amazing. And he wanted to get into property, and I said, look, just slow down, wait. It's like, because he saw where we were, but this is 7 years later. Well, we've gone through a lot of hard work and a lot of sort of strain and stress and stuff. And I said, look, just slow down, get out your debt first, get your feet back on the ground, and then we can go. So he's actually coming around Sunday for a barbecue. So we're going to be catching up and seeing how we're getting on.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes. Do you know what? Sometimes those shows, they're a bit, what's the right word? fractious.
Yeah.
Because the concept of it, for those who haven't watched it, it's called Rich House, Poor House. You can probably get the idea. So it's basically a family who are quite wealthy go and live the life of a family who are not so well-to-do and vice versa. So you go for a week or 5 days, you go and live in their house, you go and live on their family's budget. And there's some brilliant points of that show. Lydia washing her car for a couple of quid. Yeah, I was like, this is gold. I bet she's going to hate this thing on the telly. And vice versa. So they came and I think their budget was like 100 quid or something like that. It's very, very, very small amount. And your budget was something like 1500 quid, which is their like 3 months worth of their financial budget. And they really like to start with, they didn't know how to spend the money.
They didn't spend it all.
Did they not?
They didn't spend it. They had to give the money back to the show and things. They kind of gave the rest of it back. They couldn't keep it, but they didn't spend it.
But some of those episodes is very much like the rich family going, oh, I can't believe how these people live. And the poor family going, oh, these are so wasteful. But the show, the episode that you guys did, it was so warm.
Yeah.
And I before it went live, I watched it go live and I'm like, oh, please don't mug him. Because I've seen TV shows, I've been involved in TV shows and they do that. I'm like, oh, please don't mug him. Because I know that you've got a really good heart. You're from a great family. Lydia's a lovely girl. You know, everything you've built has been done the white box way in the right way for the right reasons. I was like, please show that. And it did. It really did show that. And you know, the way that, again, you sort of, Lydia found the bills and she was like, come and have a look at these. And it wasn't like, oh, I can't believe how much debt they're in. You're like, God, these are going to struggle, aren't they? They've only got 100 quid a week spare anyway. And his mum, wasn't it, who was having to bail him out of debt and stuff. And he was like in his 40s. His confidence was crushed. You could see when he put one of your very Larry suits on, he looked and acted like a different guy.
I gave him that jacket after the show.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I'm glad for that. So I thought somebody's got to make use of that.
We can't talk about this because I've seen your Instagram yesterday, mate.
Well, if you send me that jacket, I'm going to burn that and my watch and the t-shirt on Sunday on a big barbecue. I don't know why I've ended up agreeing to do
it. You'll have no clothes left, mate. Yes. I've seen what you wear.
Oh, you missed this morning. Yeah,
Hayley loved it. She's like,
it was 100% burn.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah,
awesome. Not even one person backing me up or supporting me. But yeah, I thought he came across really, really well. And I think you got shown in a really fair light. And it was one of those ones where you could see that you genuinely wanted to help and you could see that they were genuinely grateful for the help. And the fact that you said, you know, we do coach and mentor a lot of people, let us help you. And I'm glad to hear that's fantastic. So he's out of debt. So that's what, only 18 months to clear 30 grand worth of debt or something?
No, November we met him. So what's that now? We're in 7 months. So 8 months.
Oh, wow.
There were some quick wins for him that he didn't realise. So we've helped him massively, awesome. But it's all the mindset for him.
100%.
He understands and appreciates the money. Like, he was just spending it willy-nilly and we just sort of helped him out.
You could see that as well in the show when you were talking about mindset. You could see he was like, to start with, he was like, I don't really get it. But then you could see him grow into it. And when he put on I remember the first time he put on the suit, and he came out and his wife was like, oh, you look fantastic. He was like, I feel good. And he's confident, like he couldn't really, he was crippled with self-confidence, wasn't he, at the beginning of the show. And by the end of the week, he had grown as a person, which was fantastic. Right, Mods and Speakers, I know we've been chatting away for quite a while now. We're going to open up the floor and the four to you guys to join in the conversation. We're currently chatting to the one and only Lloydie Girardi from White Box Property, who has gone from LED lighting salesman ripping off his cousin for his first ever deal 7 years ago. Andy won't be listening. It's fine. He'll be in the gym pumping iron. He's now gone on to create a very successful property development company and trains a lot of people as well. And I've got to say, in the property training space, I've never heard a bad word said about you guys, which is unheard of in that space. Absolutely unheard of in that space. So, one of the go-to guys in the property training space in the United Kingdom. So, Mods and Speakers, if you've got a question that you'd like to put to Lloyd, feel free, flash your mics. If you've got a question about property or developing property or mindset or anything like that, we will come to you guys. Let's go to Joyal.
Morning, Lloyd. Great listening to your story. I also do property. Question is, when you had to raise that 750, how much was it down to self-belief and mindset about how to go raising that? And how did you do it so soon after, initially going on your training?
Great question. So the whole beginning of finding the money was a massive thing for me. Like, I'd never borrowed money off people in my life. And I questioned myself and doubted myself. And it is about belief, because I was like, well, why is anyone going to give me money? Like, let alone even a tenner. Why was anyone going to give me a tenner? Because I'm looking to build a development which I've never done before. I've got no experience. I can't show anyone that I've got track record of paying anyone back and things. And it was just a massive sort of mindset thing for me. So I was just going on what I've been taught and basically going through the motions of talking to people. The way we raised the initial, so we had to raise £157,000 initially. And that was friends, family, the people we knew around us that trusted us at that point. We weren't in the network circle of property world. We didn't have people we can go and talk to, like investors. We just had to talk to people around us. So we ended up raising £50,000 from a family friend. And it was actually Andy, really, that the bloke invested into, not me, because, again, I had no track record. I had nothing to share with people. So this guy gave to Andy and said, right, I'm going to give you this, but you will pay me back, type of thing. And he looked in his eyes and he said, you will pay me that back. And Andy's like, okay, I'll pay you back, don't worry. So we had 50,000, and then we had 2 weeks left to find the money because we had to buy it within 28 days at auction. And we just didn't know how. And we went to this networking event and someone said, oh, why don't you get a bridging loan? And me and Andy looked at each other and we're like, what's a bridging loan? We're not buying a bridge. Like, yeah. What's a bridging? And literally,
people are crazy.
We Googled it and we're like, we could use this.
Did you actually have to Google it?
Yeah, honestly, we didn't know what it was at the time. And we ended up getting this bridging loan, which was for 110,000. So we had 160,000 just in time to buy it. Then we had the issue of replacing that 110,000 with other people's money because it was only for 6 months, which it took us 3 months to do. We raised that from people, again, friends, family, friends of family. Some of the network events we started going to, people were actually sort of buying into what we were doing. And then from there, we got 100% development finance from Funding Circle because at that point, we owned the land outright. And that was the easiest money. That was £600,000 from Funding Circle, basically from they crowdsource it and crowdfund it from other people. They invest in your deal. And we ended up developing it out, creating a £1.2 million asset, refinancing it for £890,000 and paying back the £810,000 we spent. So it was very interesting. So yeah, thanks for the question.
Do you reckon that was the catalyst to go in so far by putting yourself under that much pressure straight
Absolutely.
Away?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, because it wasn't such a small deal, you ain't got a choice. You've had to go, and do you reckon that was it? You jumped into the bigger stages and stayed there.
I think because we had 28 days to find the money, the pressure of finding that money was on us. Had to go and do it. Whereas there's a law called Parkinson's law, sorry. Whereas you give someone a time frame to do something, they'll always wait until the last minute to complete it.
Yeah.
We didn't have that option. We said, well, we have to start now. We've only got 28 days. We know we need to find it. Otherwise we are going to be absolutely screwed. So the pressure really helped, but just to tell people where I was emotionally at that point, I was worried. I was, the whole 28 days, I was thinking, what am I doing? I'm an LED salesman. I kept questioning myself. As like, I'm really, really out of my comfort zone here. But I'm a very positive person. I think very positively. So I thought, well, we'll find it. It's fine. We'll keep going and keep going.
What did you tap into in those moments? Because I think sometimes definitely for me, like when I got involved in the sort of the property thing, it opened up this whole mic, because I'd never heard of like mindset. What do you mean mindset? Oh, yeah, read Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm like, oh, okay. And then like, oh, read Napoleon Hill. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, this all makes sense. Read The Secret. I'm like, no, I'm all right. I'm not crazy. it's a good book, to be fair. What were you tapping into? Was it, had you found like motivation somewhere? Were you telling Andy how you were feeling? Was it the network of people that you're around that sort of shifted your perspective? What or who were you turning to in those moments? You were like, I'm an LED lighting salesman looking for 600 grand from a, like, what the hell am I doing?
I had none of that. Well, right.
Great question.
The one thing I had was Andy.
Yeah.
We worked and bounced off each other really well. We went through every struggle, every challenge. Trust me, when we purchased that 22 garages, we celebrated as well. We tried to have a drink for every garage we'd just purchased. I think we got to 18 and we're like,
done. Yeah.
For me at the beginning, I didn't have books I was reading. I wasn't listening to podcasts. I wasn't listening to audiobooks. I had a few YouTube videos I was watching and Andy to talk to and bounce ideas off.
What was Lydia like at this point? Was she like, come on, you can do it? Or was she like, oh my God, like, what are you doing?
She was silent because I think she was fearful.
Okay.
This is 2014. I just got married.
Yeah.
Which was expensive, but I had to pay that back. So I kind of had that money to pay back as well. I was expecting a child in 2015. So we were expecting a baby. And then I just told her that.
Is that your first one as well?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I said, I'm going to quit my job. I'm doing this property full time. I'm going to quit. To be honest, it took me 9 months to quit. So I was working the LEDs as well as sort of doing property. So I was up at evenings, I was at weekends doing the property, and then during the day I was doing the LED stuff. So I was working really hard.
Did you get more clients in the LED?
No, I just sort of stabled. I was just
just ticked over.
But for me, emotionally, I wasn't there anyway. Following my dad, I was thinking, I know I'm doing something different here. So yeah. I actually said to them in the end, look, it's not beneficial for you to have me as an employee because I'm just not with it. I'm not. So that's when I handed my notice and said, I can work, but just to let you know, I'm kind of just not there. So they gave me a month off gardening leave, and I ended up just getting full time into property from September 2014.
Did you at any point during that stage did you think that this is like grief madness had set in, and you were almost like, because I remember when I lost my dad in 2010. And I remember I had a job on the radio at this point. So I'm on national radio. I'm working, the head of marketing for this radio station. I'm also heading up there, the sales department for their in-store music solution that we'd co-created. And we could see where this business was going to go. And I literally just came home from the hospital a couple of days later because my mum and dad lived like the other side of London. And I just sat in my flat in Bromley, my little two-bed flat. And I used to sit in my spare room, which never, because it was a flat, it never really got much light. And I just sat in this like dark room, and I just cried my eyes out, and I was like, I can't do this. Like, and I just handed my notice in there, and then I was like, I can't. I didn't know what I was going to do next. I had no clue, no concept. I was like, I just know. I had the first little cry. I was like, oh, come on, I can battle through. I remember, I don't know why, I went and put on some soup, spiced turnip, it was delicious, for my lunch. And as I put it, I just fell to the floor. I just fell to the kitchen floor, and I just sobbed for about an hour, and I could not stop crying. I was like, I need to get myself out of this situation. Yeah. But I had no idea what I was going to do. And luckily I had Hayley to back me up because she had a stable job. So we could pay the bills while I sort of found myself again. But it took me 4 months to get out of my way. And then I broke my ankle at the same time. And I was like, this is just like absolutely insane. Did you ever have that moment? You're like, am I only doing this because of dad? Because I definitely had those moments. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. I kept thinking of him.
Yeah.
But actually 56 days after my dad passed away, my granddad passed away. So I had two defining moments for me. I was thinking, you know what? I just got to do it.
Mm.
And every doubt I had, the reason why I was doing it outweighed the doubt. So any negative thought I had, I was like, well, that's negative. But actually, I know positively that my dad wanted to get into property as well. He talked about it. So I was thinking, I'm kind of doing it.
Yeah,
doing it with him.
Yeah, with really. Me. Oh, nice.
So, it was good. Really, really good at the time. But yeah, madness-wise, I get the whole thinking about it and thinking, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah, or am I just going crazy here? Yeah. Right, modern speakers, flash your mics. Sorry, I keep hijacking the conversation. Like, you guys can join in now. I'm like, oh, I've got another question. Right, I'm going down a panel. It's just like a sea of atomic kitten, which is brilliant. Right, modern speakers, flash your mics, popcorn style. If you've got a question you'd love to ask to Lloyd, we'll go to Holly. We'll come to you, my friend.
Hi, James. Thank you so much. And Lloyd, amazing interview. I just want to say to both of you guys, you're really touching my heart hearing you speaking about your dad's. My son, Hunter, who's 23, is currently really, really needing some guys to get around him. So I'm going to encourage him to listen to this interview. Lloyd, I am really interested to know about your developments and whether you are putting any sustainability measures into your property development. I am very keen on organics and living as naturally as we can in our homes, our offices, and that environments are created sustainably. And my husband is an Australian architect. He's come up with some designs for sustainable homes. But I don't want to go down that route at the moment. I just want to say I'm really passionate about this subject. And are you incorporating that into your developments?
Yeah,
I'm Holly. Brilliant. I'm done.
Thanks, Holly. Sustainability at the moment, we are looking and talking about it because it is going to be the way that I think a lot of property will go. At the moment, I think it's too early. We're kind of not looking at it and trying to get it in because it's early. There's a lot of price variations and it is quite expensive to put some of the stuff in that you need to become sustainable. But I mean, we have got sort of solar panels on the roof, which have been around for a long time. But we are looking at other sort of options as well. One of the things we're looking at on a site, we've got 28 houses we're building up in Cumbria. And we are looking at sort of modular construction, which has been talked about as well. So they have some sort of sustainability within their systems as well. So they've got to be seen to be doing the right thing as well. So if we go down the modular route, we kind of inherit some of the sustainability from them and the way they manufacture. So in a way we are, but not yet, but we will do, I'm sure.
That's really great to hear. I am conscious that it is a way that everyone's going to have to go. And so if you're building new, it's probably quite a good idea to factor that in, because otherwise there are going to be needs to go back and fix. So I'm just flagging that. And yeah, I think it sounds brilliant what you're doing, and well done you. Absolutely amazing story. All the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And I think with the sustainability as well, just to sort of finish that, there might be some government grants out there which we can help with implementing some of the sustainability into property development.
They haven't got a very good track record, have they, frankly, the government, because they rolled out the feed-in tariff, didn't they, for the solar panels, and everyone went mad on the, and it was a bit too successful, and they're like, oh, you know that thing we said about we're going to pay you every year for 25 years? Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Sort of, so with that in mind, you know, when they roll out things like sustainability grants and stuff, are you guys sort of reticent to jump straight into it? Will you let some, like a Taylor Wimpey or a Barrett or some of the big boys go and play that game, watch what happens, see if it works, and then jump in after? Because obviously you're not at the size and scale that you can, you know, yeah, sort of warrant taking on board any extra water that a government grant, a dangled carrot, would potentially give you.
And we've looked at government grants before, and there was the Build Fund for a while as well, which was great, but the paperwork you had to go through, it just took forever. So although it was cheaper, it took forever. So we've looked at that. But yeah, any other sort of grants that come out, I'd want to see someone doing it successful before and then following their footsteps and do it. But we are ones to kind of jump onto something quite quick and try it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, and the people we teach and the students we've got, if it doesn't work, we'll tell them. And if it does work, we'll tell them. So that's the way we kind of... look at how we do stuff. We try things first, but we think about trying things first. So obviously, if we don't think it's going to work, we won't try it. If we think it might, we'll try it.
Yeah, and one of your developments before you train. That's why I think actually, you guys within that sort of property training space, which can be sort of considered to be a bit of a shark infested water, frankly, and you know that and I know that, and we sort of vicariously know who we're talking about and who we're not talking about. But I think the reason for it is because a lot of people out there are training stuff that is still theory. And whilst they might have, you know, like several hundred buy-to-let properties, you know, all of a sudden they're also then training service accommodation, which then goes sideways, or they're teaching developments, but they've never developed anything. I think that's probably the secret to your success, or not even a secret, it's fairly obvious and evident, isn't it, that you guys have been there, done it, bought the T-shirt, seen what works, seen conversely what doesn't work, and you're testing, trying and measuring before you're then going, hey, you should do this, because they say, you know, those that can do and those that can't teach. But I think with you guys, you're doing it, and then I don't think of you guys as teachers of it. I think you guys share what works, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's
some of the deals your clients are getting. Nuts. What's that big, like a warehouse factory thing that, Farhad?
Yeah.
That one's nuts, man.
It is mental. Like, we joined venture with him in the end because they needed the track record to get the fund.
Tell us about that deal, because that looks insane.
Yeah, so obviously we teach people how to become property developers, and Farhad and Srila, they were on the course together, not knowing each other at the time.
Oh, did they not?
No, they met on the course, realised that they live close and they've got some sort of similarities as well. Went out and started finding some property deals, and they're really, really good guys. That they went out and did exactly what we're telling them to do. They found this property, which was £800,000 to purchase. It's an old derelict shoe factory.
Looks amazing.
It is awesome. So Farhad drove past it. In fact, he drives past it every single day, and he kept saying to himself, I'd love to do that, before we taught him. Then we taught him, and he thought, it came on the market. He's like, I've just got to look at it. So he looked at it. He won the deal. He came out to Bali on one of our business retreats, and he literally was sat there saying, right, I've got this deal. I've got this contractor, which we're not really happy with. I don't think it's going to work with them. So we went through this whole sort of idea of actually, will it work? Won't it work? ended up that it wasn't going to work. But then we kind of said to him at the time, look, obviously we are literally up the road from that property. We are finishing a site in Milton Keynes very soon. We'd happily jump on if you need another contractor. We'll jump on with you if you want. And we did a 50-50 there and then in Bali, and we're currently converting at the moment. But that's, it's a special property because I'm a big shoe fan. I love shoes.
You do love a shoe, don't you?
I love a shoe.
I'm from Northampton. Your brother plays for Northampton Town.
You've got to, yeah.
You love a Larry pair of shoes yourself. Like, everything about that deal just stacks up, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought, well,
that could be Girardi Towers. I mean, if they don't let you have that one,
yeah,
then there's something wrong. So what's actually getting converted into? So it's 24 apartments?
24 apartments, yeah. So we're doing a show home in the next few months, which, again, Andy likes to call me Lloyd Llewellyn Bowen because I like the...
I could so see that.
I like the interior decorating of stuff and things. And for me,
the beautifying it. Andy will smash it down and you'll make it look lovely.
Exactly. Anyone could build a house, mate. Yeah. That's what I tell them all the time. But dressing it up, making it look nice, that's me.
Oh, fantastic. Right, mods and speakers, flash and lights, if you'd like to delve into the wisdoms of Lloyd Girardi, we could talk about property or mindset, the strategies around what they're doing with the bigger development stuff. If you're in property and you're looking at going to the next level, feel free to flash your mic. Who was flashing a minute ago? I think it was Dr. Nashita. Are you still there, Dr. Nashita?
I am. Hello. Good morning from Norway. 9:30 in the morning here. Loving the conversation. I joined a bit late, so apologies if I've missed maybe somebody asking this question already, but I was fascinated by the swap story that you shared. And one of the questions I had really was what you've taken away for yourself, what it's changed for you, or a lesson or a learning that you've kind of, an imprint it's left with you. Because I think when you have these very powerful experiences, it often does something to you that's quite permanent. So I'd love to know what that was for you, if you'd be willing to share. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously the reason for the show is not just one way, it's two way as well. So for me, although I appreciated it anyway, but I appreciated it more kind of the support that Lydia provides and the family that we've got as well. And I think I was, because I was growing up, I didn't have money when I grew up. So as soon as we sort of started to have money, even when I was working selling lights, I used to spend it literally. I was the kind of guy that earned £1,500 a month and spends £1,600 a month. I was always spending more than I earned. Just because I wanted to live. So I've kind of...
Shoes, just lots of shoes.
I've kind of appreciated the money more, and obviously doing business as well, you kind of learn to appreciate it naturally. But for me, it was about the spend. I used to literally just... I was a willy-nilly spender. I literally, Amazon, through lockdown, if the Amazon delivery driver wasn't coming to my house every single day, I missed him. I was that kind of person.
I love that guy.
That was your social interaction.
I just wanted to see someone. Like, what can I buy? Screws. I don't need them.
Steve, I've ordered something else. I'll see you again tomorrow.
So from that show, I have kind of stopped spending a lot.
You thought about that, didn't you? Because you know that maybe some of Lydia's mates will be listening, because they're quite on you. If there's something that's incorrect online, they're like, no, Lloyd, he's definitely the spender. He's definitely the fashionista in their house.
Oh, there's loads of things that came up, which was, some of them weren't true, but some of them were funny, and there was all sorts of things that people said. And
the two girls, when the person you swapped with, when they went to meet Lydia's mates at for a coffee, I thought, oh, just chair. Brilliant. The chair.
I went to go and buy an expensive chair, and I was like, I didn't actually get it when she said it. I was like, what chair are you on about? But it's a racing simulator mod thing, so
Oh, so it's not a chair, is it?
It's not a chair.
And just to let you know, like, Lloyd still plays that simulator. He
about, a month, message,
about a month ago, he was just like, look where I am, look where I'm sitting. And I was like, trying to work.
I was listening to your evening show, and I said, I can't talk. You invited me on the stage. I was like, I can't talk because I'm in the middle of lap 58 or something.
But you're getting quite into the whole racing thing now, aren't you? Because your little boy's getting into car. He's quite good as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm biased. He's awesome.
But just the race results, it looks like.
No, he's doing really well. So we've got him into go-karting. But it's, again, going back to the sustainability question, it's electric go-karts. So Rob Smedley, who was F1 engineer for Ferrari and Williams, he set up this new go-karting championship for electric go-karts, and Arlo was the first one to sort of try them out and test them when they released them. He absolutely loved it. So a bit of a taste today, you could see the face when he came off the go-kart. He was absolutely loving it. So I said to him, look, do you want to carry on? And kind of thinking, well, I kind of like him to carry on, but the price. Price is quite expensive. So he said, yeah, he'd love to. So for us now, we do go around sort of the country following Arlo and taking him to sort of go-karting events. And he's in a championship at the moment. Currently, he's done two out of the three rounds. He's 10th at the moment out of, I don't know, 28 people. But some of them done three rounds. He's only done two. So I'm hoping he creeps up a little bit. But yeah, that's something that we're really passionate about as well.
Oh, that's cool. So that's a great question from Dr. Nashita. What is... So your sort of number one takeaway was the sort of the extra value of money. What about the kids?
I think, yeah, the other thing as well is although I'm a creative person and I like to think of things, when it comes to the activities and the kids, the only thing I can do is go to the park. And Mark and Natalie, the couple that we shared with, they have activity days and craft days with the kids in-house. And that's something that I've been doing as well. So
I've
don't know if you saw me
recently. Yeah.
You've seen my castle I made.
Yeah, yeah. That was proud moment.
That was
turns out not everything he builds is good.
Still standing though. Still standing. But yeah, I like to do the activity stuff now with the kids, and not that I didn't interact with them. I'm interacting with them more and doing more of the things that they want to do and things that don't cost money. Like we used to just throw money at a 360 play and go and do a soft play and just sit and watch them and get entertained, and now we get more involved and do stuff with them as well.
So what about the kids then? So what lessons do you think they got from it? Because obviously one of your big things for going on the show in the first place was to give them a better understanding of the value of money. Because like you know, you said you didn't grow up poor, but you didn't have like loads of money growing up. But obviously, your two lads are going to grow up. They're not going to be in a world, touch wood, they're not going to be in a world where money's ever really a challenge for them, are they? You know, nice house, nice cars, stable family home, you know, happy mum and dad. And I guess you have to, in a way, educate them that there's a different side to life. So what was the number one thing that they took out of it? Do they now value money more, or are they too little to kind of get it?
Yeah, I honestly think it's too early to tell.
Right? Yeah.
I'm sure it has had an effect on how they think about things, but I think it's too early. But we do use it and say that not everyone's sort of lucky enough to have whatever they need and whatever they want type thing. So I kind of keep it reiterating that point. And we actually do talk about it and say, look, remember the show, like some people can't have that. So you can't have the new game. You can't have this on, even if it's just a free download on my phone. I'm just saying, no, you've got to earn and appreciate it to get it. You can't just get it. So I'm kind of teaching that in them, that you've got to go out and work for nice things in life. It doesn't come to you.
A lot of parents say this though, that's the thing.
Yeah.
A lot of parents say it, we try, but
you're a bloody soft touch, you are, aren't you? You know it.
I try my hardest. And I've got to say, like,
anyway, wrapped around her little finger.
Yeah, and is it still a challenge? I want to ask that. Even though you've done that experience, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know it will be. Sometimes as a parent, you think it's the easy route, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not always the right route. And
you've got to think long term. Although you go through the crying and you think, oh, I'm being a really bad parent here. In the long term, that's what you've got to kind of think of as well. So yeah, it's always about.
You might hate me now, but trust me, I'm making you a better person. I don't care. I want the game. You'll thank me in 20 years. I hate you.
Oh, isn't it? It's just when you hear it, I try to do what you say. But it's a lot easier to say it than when you've got screaming kids and you know that one thing.
I suppose now that they have got that reference point, so they've actually because you know if they have been from a situation, I guess that's the benefit of doing something like that. If they're from a situation where they've never had to be challenged, and like your little one, if she knows that, all right, daddy's a right soft touch here. If I whinge enough, I'm definitely going to get my own way. She's got no reference point, whereas you can actually say to them, "Would you remember the show? Do you remember where we were?" You can almost like mentally take them back to that place, and not to like punish them, but to be like, "Remember that situation? Yeah. You know, we didn't have enough money for fish and chips on a Friday." So, you know, Mummy, still my favourite clip of the whole show, Lydia, with going out with a bucket. I thought that was just brilliant. But you had to go and clean the cars to make the money for the fish and chips. And obviously, you know, it's the TV and there's cameras and all that sort of stuff filming you. So, of course, like ordinarily, is that family going to go wash other people's cars down the street? Probably not.
So that moment was, we do talk about that with the kids and saying, look, the reason we washed cars is because we didn't have the money to buy the fish and chips. Because that's what we built up to. And we always use that and say, look, we'd run out of money. And we tried to budget as well, but it was really hard. It was £75, I think we had.
Was it really for the whole week?
Yeah, so just over a tenner a day.
And that's just food and activities?
Food, activities.
My whole question is, with those shows, why is it, so you've got a limited budget anyway, why do they make you go to the corner shop, which is the most expensive place? It's like, tin of beans, this is £1.15. I'm like, it's not a Tesco's, it's 15 pence.
So I've had that question twice this week.
Right, okay, have you?
So the reason, it's just for the cameras.
It's good TV.
There's Morrison's down the road and there's Aldi, which... I shop at Aldi now, like it's not like a but there's those down the road, but they don't allow the cameras in there. So
so
it's all about the cameras.
So the corner shops, because it is more expensive in there.
It is more
every
expensive.
Time, so don't go in there.
That's what we were like. I was like, can we not go to Morrison's where they've got deals on and things?
Yeah. I've got a loyalty card here. I've spent my point. I've got my Tesco club card points, mate. I'm balling out this week on steak.
That's the only reason why.
I always like to ask, do you actually have like your access to your like
no. The money, no. You literally...
They take the cards off you?
They don't take them off you.
But you have to leave them at home. In the spirit of...
In the spirit of things. So, like, you've got it. If you wanted to, you could spend it. But
that's
just not the spirit of the show.
If you need an emergency curry, you could call in a Vindaloo. You could do an Uber Eats.
Yeah, so we didn't. We literally lived on the £75 and it was a struggle. And to go through that, we had to go and wash cars. I said to Lou, like... We haven't got enough for fish and chips. We promised fish and chips or a treat for the kids on Friday. We haven't got enough, so we've got to do something.
It seems like you've got that. You promised £750,000. Yeah. You had to go find it. Yeah. You promised fish and chips.
Another devil.
Yeah. That's the thing. If you want to do something, say it out loud to other people and to yourself. You think, I can't let the other people down. If you don't tell people what you want to try and do on a Friday or something, you can just lie to yourself, say, I wasn't going to do it anyway. Yeah. But if you tell people, I'm going to do this by
then
Friday. And I challenge people on here to just put a post on social media and say, this is what I'm going to achieve by Friday. And then you'll find so many reasons to keep going because you're just going to, in the back of your head, you're thinking, everyone's seen my post. And if I don't do it, I'm going to look like a right idiot. So
social media is great social proof, isn't it? Yeah. I love that. Oh, in fact, you know what? Let's just chuck out there. If you would like to... Set yourself a goal for next week. So 7 days' time.
Next Friday show.
This is from a guy who has, at one point, not had enough money for fish and chips. I went out and washed a car. He's also never had a clue about property. And within 14 days, raised about 150 grand. And then had done another 600 grand a couple of weeks later. So if you'd like some accountability on your goals, then stick it onto Insta stories and tag us in. Tag in at the Winners Club and tag in Lloyd. Well, what's your handle on Insta?
Lloyd.Girardi.
Lloyd.Girardi. So at Lloyd.Girardi and at the Winners Club on Instagram, and we will hold you to account. And then maybe everyone can come back on next Friday, tell us if they achieved it or not, or how they achieved it. Right, we're getting towards the end of the show, so we're going to wrap up shortly. Anyone got any questions or queries they would like to put to Lloyd? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I'm looking for flashes, popcorn styly, mods and speakers. Let's go to Ella. What's your question, my friend?
Good morning. My question is, because the conversation around losing your father and then your grandfather, it's through grief that I've ended up into personal development and specifically more esoteric things. And I just wondered, what was the thing that made the difference for you in terms of your mindset and moving forward?
Yeah, so... for me, I think a lot when moments like that happen in people's lives, I think you do have a realization. A lot of people, it's a bit cliche, and people think, you've had this enlightening moment. But I think you do. I think you do actually look at life a bit different and thinking, actually, let's do something. So for me, the whole power was behind achieving something I've always wanted to do and actually doing something with my life rather than just going through life working for other people. And also the fact that at the time I wasn't earning loads. So it was easy. It's an easy jump for me to jump into something different. We have a lot of people from the corporate world that are earning a lot of money that can't just walk away from it. It takes them a little bit longer, but people that have got nothing, it's easy for them to start because going back to nothing is an easier jump when you've got a lot of money and things like that. It is hard to think about losing sort of money. So when you get into property, there is that risk of things going wrong, but I think it's very, very slim. A lot of people talk themselves out of deals because they're expecting the worst and they expect it to go wrong, which it only will if you let it, and you only sort of fail when you quit. And if you don't quit, you can keep going, you'll keep solving some problems, keep solving the issues, and things will get better. But yeah, for me, the empowerment was the loss of my dad. It did help me. It did sort of inspire me to do something and to keep going. And yeah, kept sort of pushing my boundaries and pushing my comfort zones a bit more.
Awesome stuff. Does that answer your question, Ella?
Yes, I just love the fact that you've had some really inspirational guys sharing emotionally. When we complain about men not sharing their emotions, they need to come here. So really, really appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, we're an emotional bunch, us lot. I'm surprised we've not had a cry. Me and Lloyd love boy band tribute.
Boys Avenue.
We were going to go to watch... We end up.
But you two look too excited right now.
Boys Avenue. So I went to Andy Lloyd's business partner's house for a curry one night, and we had a great evening. It was really good fun, and they kept playing these tunes. And as the sort of the drinks flowed a bit more, Andy and Lloyd started singing along to these like boy band, like cover songs. And I was like, do you know I used to be in a boy band tribute? And they're like, mate, this is hilarious.
Oh, no.
And there was a band called Boyce Avenue, and they basically do, are they from like,
I think LA.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're American, but so it's not just boy band, there's a girl in the band.
Okay, so they do covers of famous songs, but in a, why do we like them so much?
It's acoustic. Just acoustic covers, and I just love acoustic guitars. And it's a good night. It sounds like an awful night.
Yeah, on off the
it's
back
like
of that
you
night.
You're holding something back. It's like you're trying to control your sentences.
No, literally. I can't remember how it happened, but on the way back, I think there was tickets for them playing at Camden Palace. And I was like, lads, I'm getting this ticket. And I think by the time I'd got back that night, I was like, I bought three tickets.
Yeah.
So we're going to go see this random tribute band, two acoustic covers. You know, like the next morning you wake up and like, am I going to see an acoustic cover band in Camden with Andy and Lloyd? Am I dragging them from Northampton for a night out in Camden to watch a tribute band? Anyway, fantastic. Love this conversation. Love having you down. Where can people find more information about you and the stuff that you're up to? Oh, sorry, one more question. We've talked about your biggest takeaway from the show and what we think the boys have taken away from it. What was Lydia, your wife's biggest takeaway from the show, would you say?
Probably the fear of being on TV.
Really, like, yeah. She keeps a low profile, isn't she?
She doesn't sort of get out there, and she's...
Did you have to talk her into it then?
No, weirdly not.
Oh, really?
No, because she'd loved the show. She knew and understood it. Like, okay. If it was a show that she'd never heard of, she'd be like, well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, she really enjoyed it. And even like the week before, she got really a bit anxious and nervous. And yeah, she's sort of thinking of what we're doing. Doesn't know where we're going and all sorts. Yeah. But
there's no need to do it either, is there? Other than for the experience. It's not like you need the profile to better your situation, is it, realistically?
No, that's it. For her, it was more confidence. It gave her a lot of confidence.
Oh, did it?
Sort of just being on it and going through it and actually realising that something she was fearful of to start with, it's nothing to fear.
Yeah. She came across really well in it, actually.
Yeah.
Like, you came across well, but she came across really well. Like, really.
Yeah.
Really well. Grounded. Well. Yeah, no, she was fantastic. She was, like, really grounded. It came across as, like, everything that show should be about, it was about that episode. Because I have seen episodes where it's gone sideways, but that episode really was...
It did different,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, lessons learned equally. I think equally valuable lessons were learned from both parties, and that came across. So thank you very much for being here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you'd like to find out more information, click onto Lloyd's face and you can go through to his Instagram. And don't forget, if you want holding accountable for your goals this week, tag in Lloyd at lloyd.gerardi on Instagram, and also tag in the Winners Club at the Winners Club on Instagram.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Winners Club. If you have taken some practical lessons and learnings from some of the most impactful conversations on Clubhouse, then we would love your support for this show by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you download your podcasts.